Rock out is Stone Cold. The Hellraiser is back.
Here we go. Evolution of the Shield.
John Cena versus the Showstopper.
Hulk Hogan and The Rock in the same ring.
You will never take my place at the head of the table.
Undertaker with a Hellscape submission. Oh, my God. What?
My God, Michaels just kicked Cena's head off.
The Monday Night Wars have come to WrestleMania.
It'll be The Rock. It'll be Austin one-on-one.
Third and fourth, the Undertaker.
Do you believe in miracles?
The streak is over.
Hey guys, what's going on? And welcome back to Rivalries on the WWE podcast on this June 25th, 2021. And today is a big day. And no, it isn't the celebration of a holiday or maybe a marriage. It is yours truly's birthday, which is arguably the biggest day on the calendar year. So if you guys want to send me any gifts, I'd be happy to provide my address, or maybe you could send me gift cards over email. I think that I do all this from you guys for everything I do for you. I'm just kidding, guys. The true gift for me, honestly, is being able to do this for you guys today and bring you yet another rivalry, as today we will be covering Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins that stretched from 2015 all the way to 2019 at WrestleMania 35. And I know I did get a request for, and to be honest, I've gotten several requests since I started this show last summer, for Guerrero versus Mysterio in 2005, and I will be reviewing that one next week. And to be honest, guys, I know there are several rivalries that are obvious ones that I have yet to cover, like, let's say, Mysterio versus Guerrero, or Kane versus The Undertaker, or Triple H versus Mick Foley. Like, those are ones that I am going to get to. It's just that I don't want to spend all the bullets in my chamber right off the bat. You know, we have a long way to go here. We are just getting started on rivalries and at the WWE podcast as a whole. And I don't want to use up all the massive rivalries right off the hop. You know, I've already done Rock versus Triple H. I've already done Austin versus Rock. I've already done Austin versus McMahon. So I still have some big ones to get to. But along the way, we'll take some shortcuts, think about ones that we didn't really think about or aren't as popular. But that's why I want to revisit Brock versus Seth Rollins. And I'm on kind of a Brock Lesnar train lately because, to be honest, I'm really excited that he's coming back. And, you know, last week I did Rock versus Brock. The week before that, I did Brock versus Roman Reigns on the What If segment last Saturday. I did Brock with Matt. I did What If Brock Never Left in 2004. And I think that this particular rivalry that I'm going to be reviewing today of himself versus Seth Rollins is important because it lets you see another side of Brock Lesnar, and one that really goes against the stereotype that many have attached to him of just showing up and burying people and getting wins and looking dominant and looking like a guy who shows up, gets whatever he wants, does whatever he wants, is the face of the company, the world champion. And he will just bury anyone along his way to getting to that ultimate goal. But his rivalry against Seth Rollins is one that may be unparalleled to any other one that he's had along the way in his historic run in WWE. So to set the stage a bit, we kind of have to go back to the summer of 2014. And right off the hop, we'll say that Seth Rollins won the Money in the Bank briefcase shortly after disbanding from the Shield, turning heel, and aligning himself with Triple H and Randy Orton of the Authority. And right off the hop, he kind of got entangled with a program with Dean Ambrose, with Roman Reigns, and they were really kind of building him to be the next big heel in the company. And, you know, they were calling him the future, that Triple H, that is. And he had a really breakout year in 2014, more so than any other competitor. But while he was having his breakout year, Brock Lesnar was on one of the most dominating years and dominating stretches that one could possibly think of at that time. And I kind of reviewed this when I talked about Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, and in a lot of ways, these two rivalries kind of go hand in hand, because WrestleMania 30 in 2014, Brock ends the streak, and then at SummerSlam in 2014, he absolutely destroys Brock Lesnar absolutely destroys John Cena, wins the WWE Championship, the first time since 2004, I may add, and Brock had already been back in the company for over 2 years at this point. That was, you know, the inaugural time we ever saw Suplex City. And Brock just goes on this crazy, crazy run of domination from, I would say, late 2013 all the way into early 2015. And, you know, along the way, he's defeating guys like John Cena. He actually defeated Seth Rollins and John Cena in a triple threat match at the Royal Rumble in 2015. And it ultimately gets him on a collision course with Roman Reigns at the main event of WrestleMania 31. And I played that audio for you 2 weeks ago, so I'm not going to get redundant with it. And you guys know what happens. Seth Rollins comes in, cashes in Money in the Bank, and, as Michael Cole eloquently put it, performs the heist of the century and wins the WWE Championship away from Brock Lesnar via the Money in the Bank briefcase that helped him insert himself into that match and make it a triple threat. But it was the very next night on Monday Night Raw where we saw the first ever true build of Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar. And to build that personal one-on-one rivalry. Because, you know, they had faced each other in the triple threat match at the Rumble. But that was kind of all interconnected by John Cena. And then when Seth Rollins cashed in, you know, he had no part in that storyline building up to Mania. He just ran in and cashed in. So there really was no history between Brock and Seth Rollins. So Brock comes out to open Monday Night Raw and says he wants a match with Seth Rollins tonight. Which is a big deal, right? Like, when's the last time you ever saw Brock have a match on Raw or SmackDown? And off the top of my head, the first thing I can think of is the first ever SmackDown on Fox, where he squashed Kofi Kingston. But at this time in 2015, it had been, what, close to 12 years, 11 and a half years since we had seen Brock Lesnar fight on regular TV. So Stephanie McMahon comes out and says that Seth Rollins isn't at the building yet and blah, blah, blah. But when he gets there, they will have a match. So later in the night, Brock Lesnar comes out to face Seth Rollins. But while he thought he was getting ready for a match, the new WWE champion Seth Rollins, accompanied by J&J Security, had other plans.
How are you going? I guess we're going to hear from Rollins before the match begins.
You know, I just spoke with Stephanie McMahon before I came out here, and I'm feeling kind of jet lagged, to be honest, and I... Okay, and my foot kind of hurts a little bit from curb stomping you and Roman Reigns last night, so... I'm a fighting champion, and I'm going to give you your rematch. Just not tonight.
What? What on earth?
Oh my God,
what the hell?
Got out of there. Rollins
put that man down. Brock, put that man down. He is a cameraman. He is a civilian. Put him down. Put him down now. Listen to Paul Heyman. Put him down. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out. Get out.
Now. God, Stephanie McMahon's screaming is just so cringeworthy, isn't it? But I'm sorry if that guys hurt your, if that hurt your guys' ears there. But yeah, that was Brock Lesnar completely going ape, you know what, because Seth Rollins was not going to have his match. But unfortunately, we didn't get this match for a while. But, you know, this was a way to write Brock off of television for several months following WrestleMania, which is usually his type of schedule. But the way they did it really showed the character of Brock Lesnar as more than just a monster heel. And I've gone on record in saying this several times, even with Matt last week on our What Ifs show, that even though Brock probably in his career has been billed 95% of the time as just a monster heel, he really is kind of like a gray area. And this is a perfect example of it, that he's just such an authentic, real life type of character that he doesn't care if you're good, if you're bad. He's just gonna do what he wants when he wants. And I guess that in and of itself is a heelish type of mentality to have. But at the same time, it makes it kind of badass, don't you find? Like Seth Rollins, who at this time was just on a meteoric rise to the top of the WWE landscape, and they had just done such a masterful job of building him into that next main event level heel over the preceding 8 or 9 months, that when Brock came out and just started going crazy, he F5s Michael Cole, he F5s a cameraman, you know, he tries to kill Seth Rollins, who gets saved by J&J security. Like, you just see a side of Brock that in a lot of ways makes you really like him. And I think that's where I really enjoyed Brock Lesnar's character. Because I feel as though Brock Lesnar is one of the most relatable characters WWE has to offer. And I don't mean that in the sense like, oh yeah, I work out like Brock Lesnar, or I'm as coveted as Brock Lesnar, or you know, I look like Brock Lesnar. Like, obviously not. You know, Brock Lesnar could squash me like a bug in a matter of seconds. But in the sense that he is probably the least hokey character that they have. It's like he's not even playing a character, he's playing himself. And I obviously, his real life fighting background has that as gives him that kind of credibility. But even the way they book him as, you know, he's not just going to align with heels because they're heels. Or let's just say if he was a babyface, he's not just going to align with babyfaces because he's a babyface. Like we've seen Drew do with, let's say, the Viking Raiders in recent weeks. Or let's say, you know, how Apollo Crews would with Roman Reigns, just for argument's sake. Like Brock will just beat to his own drum. And that's why, to me, even though he's booked as a heel, it really isn't so much of him just being a typical heel. It's just him being this authentic version of himself. So then this really lines up Seth Rollins to blaze his own trail with Brock Lesnar not being involved for the next few months. Like, he has the program with Randy Orton, he retains the championship, he has a couple matches with Dean Ambrose, but this is all just building Seth Rollins as a legitimate main event level champion. And then this leads to a Monday Night Raw leading on the way to SummerSlam, where Triple H is singing the praises of Seth Rollins, but lets him know that the toughest is still yet to come.
Seth, the question now is, do you crumble or do you become the diamond that we have invested in. Because Seth, the pressure is on.
So Brock returns in middle of June 2015, and I actually made a mistake. This wasn't on the road to SummerSlam. It was on the road to Battleground, which was the pay-per-view right before SummerSlam. And on the road to this, you know, I would argue that Brock was billed as the babyface here, or just kind of like an anti-hero, like a shade of gray. He wasn't a heel, that's for sure. And you heard the reaction for Brock when his music hit and he came back. And I think that when you started building this, it was kind of to see if Seth Rollins was that main event level heel. And at this point, he truly was, because obviously Roman Reigns was back in the mid card, kind of feuding with Bray Wyatt at this point. Dean Ambrose was far from that. Certainly both baby faces at that time as well. So Seth Rollins really was the big dog, for no pun intended. But they get to Battleground, and on their way, we have that famous scene of like Brock destroying the Cadillac and whipping the door around with the axe and whatnot. But at Battleground, The Undertaker inserts himself and attacks Brock, and Brock loses by disqualification, which leads to Seth Rollins retaining the championship, and then they go their separate ways. Seth goes on to fight Cena at SummerSlam in a double championship match, and Brock goes on to face The Undertaker. And their rivalry lied dormant for about 3.5 years after this. And it really started back up again in late 2019, when Seth Rollins was yet again on a meteoric rise in WWE, but this time as a babyface. Because in late 2016, he does the turn to go to a babyface. And then in 2017, he's kind of easing back into that, tags with Dean Ambrose, has another run with The Shield. And then in 2018 is when he really starts to catch fire. He legitimizes himself as, like, you know, just upper mid-card level babyface. Has an incredible rivalry with Dolph Ziggler over the Intercontinental Championship. He really kind of, I guess, not legitimize that title, because The Miz had done such an incredible job doing that in 16 and 17. But Rollins had a very good run in 2018 that you kind of felt that it was getting to a high point by the time the Royal Rumble came around. And when the Royal Rumble came around, we got confirmation that we were going to see Rollins and Brock Lesnar on a collision course at WrestleMania.
We're down to the four men: Andrade, Rollins, Ziggler, and Strowman.
And this isn't when you turn on yourself. This is when you get rid of the biggest threat, and that's Braun Strowman.
Absolutely.
This
right.
is great strategy. Then fight it out among yourselves.
And Strowman now eliminates Andrade, and we're down to three.
Strowman just bull rushed Andrade and threw him right over the top rope.
And now Ziggler and Rollins working together to try to eliminate Strowman. It's normally every man for themselves.
Look at this.
Now Braun Strowman. Oh!
No.
Both hanging on.
Ziggler and Rollins still in this. Braun Strowman now.
Oh,
eliminate
man.
Ziggler and now Rollins from behind. Strowman still in it. Rollins thinks he won, but Braun Strowman is still hanging on. And now Rollins with a kick. Strowman teetering on the apron. What does Seth Rollins have to do? Will it be Rollins' moment? Strowman caught Rollins. Kick slam.
This Strowman is unreal.
Rollins' luck has run out. And now Braun Strowman entering the ring and looks to take out Rollins and win the 2019 Royal Rumble match.
It looks like a foregone conclusion. I think you're right, Michael.
Those hands. Much like Strowman did at the greatest Royal Rumble. Looking to dominate again here tonight and eliminate Seth Rollins and get the matchup and the champion of his choice at WrestleMania.
Brock Lesnar or Daniel Bryan.
Wait. Seth Rollins now trying to eliminate Strowman. Strowman in trouble, top rope. Rollins trying to wrestle him down to the floor.
Rollins has a death grip on his head.
Strowman trying to hang on. Both men are on the apron of the ring. And again, the power of Strowman. Look at Strowman. Rollins, though, posting Strowman. Strowman still in the apron.
Oh.
Rollins to the midsection.
One
Strowman
foot.
Still staying alive. Rollins!
Oh.
Rollins is going to WrestleMania!
And in a way, very similar to how Chris Benoit eliminated the Big Show in the Rumble 2004, Seth Rollins lastly eliminates Braun Strowman to punch his ticket to the main event of WrestleMania. And to face none other than Brock Lesnar, who was on about a three-month run as a Universal Champion at this point, after Roman Reigns had to relinquish it to his cancer diagnosis, and he regained it, I believe, in November of 2018. And at this very pay-per-view, Brock Lesnar defeated Finn Balor to retain the championship. A very underrated match, I may add. And this leads to Rollins versus Brock, part two, technically, because I don't know if you want to count their match at WrestleMania 31 when Rollins inserted himself. But we get Rollins versus Brock Lesnar, but this time it's a completely different dynamic. Because in a lot of ways, Brock played the babyface 3.5 years prior, and Rollins was the heel. But now Rollins, like I said, it was like a brand new run for Seth Rollins to be, like, as a character. Like, we had never seen him as a main event level babyface. We had seen a main event heel or mid-card babyface. So this was like a brand new push for Seth Rollins, and rightfully so. Like I said, in the latter half of 2018, right up until the Rumble in 2019, there was no hotter star than Seth Rollins. And it was one of those matches in the Rumble and those picks that was the obvious pick, but it was the right pick. I remember I had a lot of friends over for the Royal Rumble, and we all picked Seth Rollins to win the match because it just made so much sense, and where he was trending towards, it just made a ton of sense to build to him versus Brock at WrestleMania 35. And Brock, at this point, was on a hell of a run at WrestleManias, and it had not been since WrestleMania 31 that he had lost a match on the grandest stage of them all. The year prior, he defeated Roman Reigns to retain the Universal Championship. At 33, he defeated Goldberg to win the Universal Championship. At 32, he defeated Dean Ambrose in their infamous Extreme Rules match. And then 31, he lost to the cash-in of Rollins, and the year before that, he had ended the streak. So aside from Seth Rollins cashing in Money in the Bank, Brock Lesnar was on like a half a decade tear of at WrestleMania. So it really felt almost poetic that once again Seth Rollins was going to try and be the one to end Lesnar's reign of dominance at WrestleMania. And lo and behold, Seth Rollins does it again, and he defeats Brock Lesnar at the WrestleMania to become the Universal Champion. And it was just another instance of like Seth Rollins being that one guy in the company that Brock Lesnar could not overcome. Like, he had overcome Braun Strowman. He had overcome The Undertaker. He had overcome Roman Reigns, overcome John Cena. But Seth Rollins, of all guys, was the one that kept rearing his ugly head and defeating Brock Lesnar for the championship and keep dethroning Brock Lesnar off of the top of the mountain. And Brock Lesnar goes away. Seth Rollins has a very nice run of champion, and he holds it well into the summer. But during the summer, Brock Lesnar makes an impromptu return at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, inserts himself in the match, and actually becomes the Mr. Money in the Bank. And it was at the following pay-per-view that Brock Lesnar finally got his revenge on Seth Rollins.
No!
Wait a minute, Paul Heyman! Paul Heyman's lied before! Paul Heyman, and wait, the beast is lying!
Shut up!
Heyman didn't lie for a change! Mr. Money in the Bank is here! Brock Lesnar in the contract for a Universal Championship opportunity if he chooses to cash it in! We've seen Lesnar show up and not cash in before. The referee has to call for the bell.
Now look at Brock Lesnar. He is all business tonight. It's getting done.
Rollins just went through an Extreme Rules match. Lesnar's coming after it. Brock Lesnar with a German suplex. Heyman is still holding on to the contract as a second German is delivered. Brock has it. Now Heyman's calling for it. Heyman's calling for it.
Brock Lesnar is cashing in his Money in the Bank contract.
Lesnar's cashing in tonight at Extreme Rules. The Beast is stalking the champion. The big smile on the face of Lesnar.
It is now official.
Lesnar with Rollins up top. And F5. Cover by Lesnar. Hook on the leg. Lesnar's the champion.
Here's your winner. And the new Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar!
So Brock regains the Universal Championship again, which was, I don't even know how many he was at this point. I believe this was reign number 3 for him to go along with the WWE Championship that he won a handful of times. But he finally conquers Seth Rollins by cashing in Money in the Bank after Seth Rollins' mixed tag team match with Becky Lynch against Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans. And this ultimately leads to what would become the final clash between the two sides of Brock versus Seth Rollins. And it is main event of SummerSlam. And the main event of SummerSlam 2019 is really where, in my opinion, you got the stamp of approval of Seth Rollins, as if we didn't already have it. But when he went into SummerSlam against Brock and did what he did, I felt like it was like the stamp of approval. He was the made man. And he did something that not many other people had done, and that was come out on top of a program against Brock Lesnar. And Seth Rollins becomes the Universal Champion again, and this really closes the book on Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar. And I don't know if there was ever another program that Brock Lesnar had with someone that he didn't get the last word or the lasting victory. Because think about it, Goldberg, the last time they faced at WrestleMania 33, Lesnar walked out with the championship. You could say him versus Roman Reigns got the last laugh and defeated him at SummerSlam 2018 for the championship. But again, how many times did Brock defeat Roman before that? So, I don't know. I would still say maybe that's even at best. Braun Strowman, same thing. Undertaker, same thing. Kurt Angle back in the day, same thing. Like, the only one I could really think of like a true rivalry that Brock didn't get the win, the lasting win on, and lost clean to twice. He lost to Rollins clean twice at two of the biggest pay-per-views, WrestleMania and SummerSlam, and the only time he defeated Rollins was cashing in Money in the Bank after Rollins had just gone through an Extreme Rules match. So it was like the only rivalry that I could really recall, where Brock was made to look vastly weaker than the other guy. And it's just crazy to think about through all the rivals he's had in his career, like Goldberg and Taker and Cena and Reigns and The Rock even. Rollins is that one guy that maybe Brock never defeated clean. Like, do you want to call a cash-in a clean victory? I don't know. So it was a very important rivalry for me because it was a one that solidified Seth Rollins as a made man and a main event babyface level star, although it only lasted for another couple months after he lost to The Fiend and whatever, but also because it was one of those rivalries where Brock gave back. And you could make that case for him versus Drew right before the pandemic hit, although because of COVID, we never really got to see that fully play out, I feel like. Maybe they revisit that once Brock comes back, and maybe they could have a feud over personal reasons. But one out of rivalries that played out for Brock, I don't think I ever saw him book so weak. And rightfully so. Maybe he's just that kryptonite, Seth Rollins is. It used to be Goldberg, now it's Seth Rollins. But either way, I think it was very important that that was like the one guy that Brock could not conquer in the grand scheme of things was Seth Rollins. And it's kind of like a feather in Rollins' cap, as that he was the only guy that was able to take down the Beast in oh so many matches. And obviously Rollins went on to turn heel shortly thereafter. Brock went on to win the WWE Championship. And this was only about less than 2 years ago, guys. So this was another relatively recent rivalry. So anyway, that's all I got for you today. I hope you enjoyed Brock versus Rollins. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at ADeMarco25. You can get Matt on Twitter at wrestling_audio. Or you can email him at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. And be sure to catch our What If segment that will drop tomorrow morning exclusively on Patreon. So anyways, guys, I hope you have a good weekend, and I will talk to you next time.